It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
So me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day in the afternoon, and in studio I have Pal Gamble, senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon good to afternoon. All my indentured servants out there listening.
Yeah, what he's talking about is all the volunteer editors and writers and stuff on Freedom's Phoenix, because we get a lot of participation. Now, this is the one thing that I want to make sure that we cover today. This morning, I had a gentleman named Kevin Trudeau on the morning show, and we're going to have him on this show in the afternoon on Monday. And that was a very interesting conversation, and I don't want to say any more about that other than you go to freedomsphoenix.com. You can listen to the show. It was very interesting. Had him for an hour. We'll get a two-hour spot out of him Monday on this show. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of revelations that came out of that. This is a boy that's a gazillionaire and with the Bilderbergers partying on the yachts with. And the only thing I got to say about it is this, and I want to keep drilling on him, doing some more research. As I've seen this happen over and over and over and over and over and over and over throughout history, is that you'll look at the British Parliament, and you know that ultimately the Queen is in charge. Now, that's just, who we BSing? You guys can sit there and, how many, libertarians can dance on the head of a pin, but guess who owns the pin? Now, what happens is you have in Parliament, you'll get somebody, after it's all fallen apart, there'll be that one guy that'll stand up and go, rage against the machine. All right. Well, that guy, whose side's he on? I don't know. Oftentimes they'll lead the opposition against their very own party that they were before. Are they on your side or not? I mean, there's some simple questions to ask. There's things that you need to find out. You know them by their fruits. You go through, and so that's kind of where I see Kevin now. He's saying all the right things, coming out. And my thing, the one thing he did kind of, cause me some pause a little bit on something. When you go, when somebody goes, we need to stop voting for the Republicans and Democrats. If you're not willing to challenge the whole concept of, supporting the machine in some form, if you're not advocating, it's the machine that's the problem, regardless of who's up there to, you may choose from communist candidate A or B or C. if you're not willing to challenge that, you think voting's going to make us free? So we kind of got into it. We had a good conversation and we came out buds on this thing, and we'll get them back Monday and we'll start putting more pressure on it, because we're getting a look behind the veil. We're in with the Bilderberger buddies. And what's happening is these guys, there's different groups that control North America, Central South America, Asia, Africa, Europe. I mean, they're all vying for, we cooperate until, one guy wants to be the head dog. It's all about the ring. It's all about the levers. Once you have, Lord of the Rings, remember there's a scene in the beginning when they go, the evil Sauron created all these rings, and he gave so many to the dwarves, so many to the humans, so many to the elves, so many to blah, blah, blah. And then he created one ring to bind them, control them all. The Ring of Sauron. Well, who's the hobbits? Now you have the hobbits or the libertarian types. They don't want to wear the ring. They want to be in charge of the ring. They just don't want to be controlled by the ring. They're looking to chuck it in the fires of Mordor. Are they for chucking the ring of power into the fires of Mordor? If they're not for that, then it's just another ring. Now, this ring sucks. You need... Where's our ring? It's shiny. It's got little diamonds encrusted. So that's what we're going to be focusing on there. Pal is in. There was a lot of stories that, you know, started coming out. And we're focusing on Arizona a little bit. You have, if I had a calculator here, and I look at how many people there are in Arizona, the whole state of Arizona is, I don't know, 5-6 million people. The state of California has how many, pal? I don't know, it's tens of millions.
5 million or something? It's 10% of the population of the United States. It's got to be...
A chunk.
30 million people then.
So I think I've heard high 40s or something. Yeah. So let's say 50 million people, if you count all the illegals. So you got 50 million people there, and you divide the deficit that they have of 20-something, like $30
billion. $21 billion deficit this year's budget. That doesn't matter next year's budget that you're supposed to already be working on.
Wow. What about last year's? I mean, I got a bunch of IOUs in that one.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wonder about that, too. It's like, those are probably the smoke and mirrors stuff.
Yeah, so anyway, it's a lot of money per person. But what a lot of people don't know is that Arizona has a higher per capita debt than California.
Yes, they do.
So we're screwed. Do you think California's screwed? They're screwed because it screws up a bunch of pension funds and a bunch of investors and banks and so on, because they got a big giant chunk of this money. But per capita, per us, per Arizona resident, we're even bigger screwed. So we're like going, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, you think it's that bad for California? Well, then how bad is it for us? So here in Arizona, they are doing a lot of machinations on this budget. Twice in the 90s, I did in 93, and then again in the early 2000s, 2002, I think it was, I filed a lawsuit against the state of Arizona for them violating our no debt policy in our constitution, the balanced budget amendment, or balanced budget condition in our constitution. So I went and said, you know, you're doing it, you're calling it this, you're doing that. And, you know, I say, you know, everybody take a look over here. Look what they're doing. This is what they're doing. They're doing this. That's a bad thing. Look what they're doing. They're doing it. Then, of course, the judge, because here in Arizona, they have a thing they call, you can do a special action straight to the Supreme Court. It's called Rule 4. And what it is, if a government agent fails to do something required by law or does something that they're supposed to be prevented by law, then an individual can go straight to the Supreme Court under what's called a special action. Now, how I knew this is that I read the rules of civil procedure. I'm going, man, I can't believe these guys. There's got to be something that you can do. So I sat down. You know, it was back in the day before the internet in early 90s, mid 90s. You know, I'm just, you know, give me the book. I'll read the book. I got nothing else to do. Give me a highlighter in the book. I'm going to go through the book. Ooh, looky here. So when you file these, the second time I had done it, the clerk wouldn't let me do it. Oh, you can't do that. Because when you go and you file a special action, usually they're like, you know, big giant hand trucks of paper by the time it gets to the Supreme Court. I got like 2 pages. And they're going, you know, that obviously is not right because, you know, it's only 2 pages. And I go, you know, oh, yeah, it is. So they went and researched and talked and this, and they're like, dang it. Okay. I had to go back and show them the one from a decade before that I'd already done it before. And they just did it again, so I'm filing another suit. So now we're in a situation where our state treasurer, Dean Martin, what a name, he's going to be running for governor. Now, he's going to scream about the budget. He's going to say, oh, I can't believe in heaven's Murgatroyd and all kind of, you know, and we're like, where the heck have you been? So now we're your state treasurer. I mean, we haven't heard peep out of you. All of a sudden we're going to hear peep because you're running for governor. What the heck you been doing up to now? So what we're going to be doing is discussing the condition of our budget, some of the things, ramifications in our economy here, different things, because I asked Powell to come in. We put up all these stories. We made them part of today's show because this is what I know. I guarantee your state is going through exactly the same thing. I guarantee it's going to be the same kind of stuff. And if it's not doing it now, it soon will be. So because Arizona is such a in bad shape, what that means is that you're getting a preemptive look on exactly what they're going to do there. To think that each one of these states' pensions, the state's investments, the municipal bonds, the every single financial instrument they have here is not some boilerplate, just like FHA loans or Fannie and Freddie compliant, blah, 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 blah. They get converted into a MERS thing, or they invested in the subprime, or they were all made the same. because it made it easier for them to trade. It made them easier for them to steal. They, them, those. Who are they, them, those? They, them, those. Or those won't be left alone. Those won't leave them alone. Let me tell you who didn't leave us alone. Bankers, thank you very much for playing. Oh, and by the way, we're broke, so we need more of your tax money to pay for we're broke. Even after we took all your money. Life sucks. So this is the biggest bank robbery there ever was. And they just got started. You think this is, you know, the first shoe. Heck, the shoe have first shoe haven't even hit yet. They just dropped it. So this is coming, and gold is hitting over today. It went over 1150. I don't even know what it is now. I got to take a look. 1150. You know, this is, and what was it just a month ago or something? It was in the 900s or something. I mean, wow. That's a 15% increase in a month. So I'm going, you know, this is the end is nigh. We want to make sure you protect yourself and see what's coming. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Love ain't the same on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
Yeah, it's the same old story, the same old song and dance. Now, the one thing that I want to give you a heads up on what's coming on next hour, at the top of the next hour, we're getting Orly Taze, or Taze, or how you say her name, T-A-I-Z.
Tates.
How you say it?
Tates.
Orly Taze is involved in the Obama trial about his birth certificate, and it's set for January 26, 2010. So some judge said, you know, Judge David Carter goes, hey, we're going to trial. Well, that's cool. You know, that'd be interesting. See, we're going to trial finally. That's cool. But one of the other things is that Orly is at the Continental Congress. She's one of the delegates. So we're going to get a twofer. Now, she's just going to be on for a couple segments at the top of the hour and tell us what's going on at the Continental Congress and give us a little heads up on her trial date in January. Because I know Bob Schultz at the Continental Congress, that was one of his big things, is the legitimacy of Obama being president. And it doesn't affect me as much as probably a lot of people, or probably, you know, Powell doesn't care either, because I'm, you know, doesn't matter who's president because I don't care either way.
But it is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's credibility for the system. I mean, you know, it's just like, yeah, they lost it for me a long time ago.
Isn't it ironic that the two candidates we get to choose from, our choice, one's basically born in Panama and the other's born in Kenya. So, you know.
Yeah, whatever. I just, you know, like I got to pick either one. Can I not? I just, let's not. Anyway, so that's going to be, we'll talk about it. We'll see what she has to say. I will share my opinion and we'll see what happens. And you have an opinion, I'm sure. So be ready with your questions if you want to call in. All right. If you want to call in, 866-986-6397. 866-986-6397 at the top of the hour, and we'll go ahead and line you up. And Orly Taze, that's the Obama birth certificate, in case anybody cares. Because I got to raise my hand. You know, people are like, yeah, but this is so important in Constitution. I got to raise my hand. I go, am I allowed not to care? No, you're not allowed not to care. You have to care. We have the blah, 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 whatever justification. And I'm telling you, this government, it was instituted on the promise of one thing, the defense of individual rights. And the further you get away from that promise, and the wider that gap gets, the less legitimacy they have, the less I owe them to, you know, their justification for their existence. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, the whole reason for their existence was to defend this Constitution. And I can't think of a single thing that they were charged with doing that they aren't 180 degrees opposed to it. It's like it's on purpose. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to the individual rights and free and individual minds thing, and how it all comes out in the end, we'll see. But we'll cover it. We're heavily involved. We're not disengaged in this thing. You know, Freedom's Phoenix and the Love Evolution and the Ron Paul Revolution and the Campaign for Liberty. A lot of the guys here are doing that. We have in courts, we're doing everything. You know, Powell is covering everything at the courts. He's always in court, sitting there writing down something. We got the guys there with the camera. We're just camera fraud, all the photo radar stuff, the video surveillance. I mean, don't ever think, you know, I'll put up our activism against yours any day. So don't even think that we're sitting here on our hands. But don't ever think that we're sucked into this paradigm that we have to support a system that is devouring us. It's just which guy's behind the lever. Because if you haven't figured it out that it's the lever, it's the ring of power itself that's the problem, then you haven't been paying attention. Well, we're going to help you pay attention a little bit more today because we're going to talk about some of the things that's going on. Now, if you go ahead and pull up today's show, and it has a list of all these articles that you put up, you got them up? Did you do that? Let's go ahead and go through one at a time. The U.S. inflation edges up. Housing starts fall sharply. The trickle-down effect of the housing number is going to be amazing. It's likely that more construction crews will get cut after this, and the supplier who supplies those crews will be hurt as well. This is not good news at all. Okay? What we have is that, is it a shock to anybody that housing starts have dropped? I mean, is this news now? Why is Reuters coming out with that today?
There's a government report that just came out and basically saying it dropped another 10.5, a little over 10.5% new housing starts. And yeah, you're right. Why wouldn't they? There's so darn many houses right now on the market that are uninhabited after this orgy of building that we've had. They can't move them. And the banks won't even foreclose on the things now anymore.
So. They can't. I know they had the physical paper people just even shuffle the paper to do it.
If I was homeless, I'd find a house.
You know, there is a homesteading thing. It's kind of a, you know, you just get in there. You're in there long enough. You know, you just turn on the electricity and you're sitting there until somebody kicks you out. Heck, they probably pay you to be there so somebody doesn't steal the plumbing.
Actually, a couple of years ago when I saw this coming, I was telling my niece who was going to be turning 18, I go, you know, if you want to get away, she didn't want to move out on mom and dad. But I go, you know, you turn 18, man. You move out and you basically go and see if you can get paid to sit in houses and keep the plumbing, the metal pipes from being ripped out,
the wiring,
etc. You know, and take care of these houses that are basically being, you know, lost. And that was 2 years ago before the housing really started crashing seriously like it is now.
You know, I live in Central Phoenix. It's not, you know, it's a nice neighborhood. I mean, you know, it's nice, well-kept, walk around, not a bunch of lights, go around, people walking their dog, kind of yuppie eyes, little doctors and lawyers starting out kind of place. And I rent. I've been renting there for, it's been like 9 years, because we got it cheap. We knew the people that were managing it, and we got in there, and we liked that area, because we had to move out of our other home that we rented, because the guy, oh, you'll like this. It was right after 9/11, and he was a missionary, did some missionary work in China. And after 9/11, he goes, time to come home. So he goes, nope, we're not renewing the lease. So we like that home. So we got this other one. We get in. It's a nice neighborhood. Brought our kids up there in their high school years and such. And all of a sudden, the houses started just going crazy because this is a nicer area. Even though it's older homes, but it's Central Phoenix, they're going for, you know, $300,000 to $400,000 each. Next door to us, 319, I think, is what it sold for last.
We also live pretty near the Biltmore Estates. I mean, that's pretty high.
Yeah, but I'm not in the Biltmore.
No, I know you're not.
You know, but we're near, you know, a nice part
of
Phoenix. It's not, you know,
they'd make sure it was kept nice.
Right. It's a small, regular old built in the 60s home or something, or maybe 50. I mean, they're older block homes, but nice. They've been remodeled a lot. A lot of the places around me have. But across the street, we had a family. He had Alzheimer's, started getting his older couple, and they went to the Philippines. That's the only way they could afford to live on what they had and have him taken care of. They sold the home. I forgot about this. My wife told me they sold it to a young lawyer from Massachusetts, I think it was. She took it and lost her job here or got moved back or whatever it was, and it went back to the bank. But it went to the bank, and now they just listed it $169,000. I'll bet you that thing sells for 140 something. And this is, I mean, just a couple of years ago, the house across the street next to us, you know, less than 40 feet away, went for 319. So what is that? That's less than half. So, you know, that I bet you this sells for. So I'm going, okay, now we have all of the housing starts fall. Why? Because on my street right now, just in the last 6 weeks, we have about, I'd say less than two dozen, about 20 houses on the little street that I'm on. Of those, there are six that are vacant and have either little stickers in the window or they're selling them or whatever. Nobody's occupying them. Six of them. Neighbors are mowing lawns and so on for them just to keep them up, to try and keep their values up so they can sell their house and that kind of stuff. This is going, and this is Arizona. This is the hotbed of real estate. Well, Nevada's doing the same thing. A friend of ours, Brock Lorber, writes for the site, lives in, probably listen to this show, lives in Las Vegas. And he's keeping his neighbors' houses all taken care of, too, because he wants his value up. He's like, whoa, we can't have that. This is just a beginning. What does that mean for tax revenue for the states? What are they going to do? They're going to cut spending? Oh, we got a lot of stories for you. This is what's going to happen to us and to you. Where's the breaking point? They don't think you have one. We'll talk.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here. And in studio, we got Pal Gamble, senior editor of freedomsphoenix.com. I'll tell you, the reason I asked Pal to come in this morning, we were, I get up and I go through my stuff and, you know, checking out and everything. And not everything goes on the website. I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff is local or it's just fun between, you know, he and I back. And here it goes again. I mean, do we really want to keep beating that horse? But, you know, he was sending me a lot of stuff on the state budget. So I go, yeah, we need to do this. But I got to ask you, what got you all started on the state budget today? What happened?
all right, I got up at 5 a.m. I'm sitting in my house. I'm waiting for the sun to come up. I don't feel like going out and getting the paper until, you know, I can actually see where I'm walking. And I go trotting out there a little bit before 7 o'clock and pick it up and we'll start walking back and, you know, we'll start opening up the old daily birdcage wrapper. And lo and behold, above the fold, front page, what does it say? Arizona now, keep in mind, Arizona's $2 billion in the friggin' hole, is Arizona's going to be taking out a loan for the first time.
Which is unconstitutional as heck.
We're going to be taking out a loan for the first time in order to solve the deficit. Now, you know, that taking out a loan to solve your deficit kind of strikes me as being a little odd. But obviously, you know, it's fine for government. Federal government's been doing it for years, decades, and... You know, so obviously the state governments decided, hey, well, this is a great idea. Let's just follow in the federal government's footsteps. And yes, this morning I emailed you with that first set, starting out with that particular article, because I was like going, well, I wonder what my good friend Ernie, who I knew damn well had sued twice before on this very issue, and basically had the courts say, yeah, it's in the Constitution, but we don't care.
That's about exactly what happened. Yeah, but we'll call it something. We define it as different. It's a long story. Bottom line is they do whatever the heck they want.
Yeah, and that's the reason why it's a little hard to get excited about the birth certificate thing. It's easy to be amused by it, but we've been through this so many times. You go to court, and if you don't go to court to be amused, then you're going to be disappointed.
Well, at least educated. I mean, yeah. You just like, you get them, you know, because what they didn't understand was I go in, and people would tell me, you know, people in, you know, from the governor's office and so on, you're never going to, I mean, as if I knew, you know, didn't know that. And I'm going, God, you guys don't get it, man. And they go, what, we're going to slam this and it's going to get dismissed. And you know, you should just drop it and we'll, what do you really want? And we'll negotiate a deal and all this other stuff. And I go, no, you don't understand. What I really want is to get you to say it. I need you to say it, and you're never going to say it unless somebody asked a question. I'm asking the question, does this constitutional provision for you not to go into debt mean anything? Yes or no? Obviously, it doesn't. Twice I get that. Do I want to go for three? Well, maybe. Maybe not. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Made my freaking point already. So, you know, so that's why, you know, Pal said, yeah, Ernie, what are you going to do about it? He's trying to egg me on. You know, I know it.
But, you know, that's true. It's the thing, you know, I learned, and it's a sad thing. A lot of young people that come into the workshop, They're like, can we hang these signs? And there's others that are like, yeah, I got a constitutional right to hang signs. You're like, yeah, don't expect the waving the Constitution in a cop's face isn't going to get your butt tased on the spot,
right?
For you know, not complying.
But we encourage you to do it anyway.
Yes, we do. And you know, it's like, hey, you know, you don't stand up for your rights, you lose them. But don't really expect that the Constitution is going to be, you know, they won't even let you bring up the Constitution in a court. That doesn't mean you should stop and not bring it up. But
well, you know, one thing that we've been very effective at is educating the government itself and law enforcement. So when they do something stupid or they say something stupid to us, well, you got cameras rolling in their face because they're just that type. You know, they respect my authority. Even with your camera, I can say I can arrest you for anything I want, boy. And then we put it up. We're going, okay, you know, we put it up, and of course they're brought in and reprimanded, and we get to hear from, you know, the PIO or the, you know, confrontation prevention squad or whoever these, you know, community services guys saying, yeah, man, dang it, man, you guys keep hammering, can you not, you know, just tell these guys to quit saying stupid stuff. What is the solution? Us not filming them do it? I mean, come on, really? Is that the solution? How about, so as time goes on, they start to, you know, I don't know if they're in support of what we say, or they just don't want to be filmed not being in support. So we're not taking the risk of not taking the camera. That's what we're dang Skippy not doing. Yeah, bring the camera.
Yeah, you've said it before. If you don't film it, it never happened. And that's that means also not just the fact that you didn't do it, it also means that their word, the governing the people that govern you, their word always is taken over yours. And there's nothing sweeter than having them hold a press conference. They have the cop or whomever.
Let them go. Let them drone on and on.
And then you stick it on YouTube.
Yeah, because I don't give a crap what these, you know, media guys here say. They're going to spin it into whatever they want.
And
anyway,
then they hold another press conference the next day and they say, how dare they put that on?
Right.
They didn't tell us they were filming it. They never. And you're sitting there laughing, going, yeah, whatever.
You know, this is how we roll. We've been doing this forever. It's almost, you know, I tell you who the guys that come after us. It's always that new legislator or that new reporter. You know, I got me some on Ernie. I'm going to go get them. And the other guys are, you know, they have to either warn them off, and they'll say, no, wait. We call this fish on, okay? Ernie's baiting you. And they go, no, I got it. Or they sit back and they just let them. And I see them going, obviously, oh, you're a new guy, huh? Obviously, you haven't talked to anybody about this, have you? Okay, let's play. And the reason is because we already know what the end game is on this. We already know, we don't start a project unless we already know we won before we started. But the government is so predictable in their actions, but you got to be careful not to go after individuals. I haven't, and this is why. It sounds simple, then you go, oh, yeah, I know that, but you know, you never practice it this way. When you go after government action and doing bad stuff, it's like, it's so easy. It's like playing chess with a three-year-old. The problem is that when you really start to get them, they always have the ability to throw the chessboard on the floor, pull out their 45 and shoot you in the chest. They're just like, oh, yeah, you thought there were rules. There's no rules. So you got to be careful. You always got to be prepared to take your lumps. You know, let them hit you. Let them give you a bruise. Let them elevate you. Because a lot of times you know people more by their enemies than you do their friends. You know, these guys are, oh, we really hate Ernie. I'm like, can I put that on a poster that this scumbag politician here doesn't like what we do down here? They do their best to ignore us now.
All right. Second article that I thought was pretty darn interesting that I think I emailed you in a second email after I'd emailed several links to you was, there's another Arizona Republic article that basically, I'll give my headline because the headline in the Republic was nothing like it, but it was, lobbyists are advising the legislature on how to solve the deficit. And I'm like reading this article, and it's basically about a forum that was held with lobbyists and policymakers. And what's a policymaker? That's probably a lobbyist for a nonprofit organization that probably makes more money than any other type of organization. And then other politicians, which basically were mayors of various municipalities that wanted their hand out, or at least to demand the state stop sticking its hand in their tax robbings, their piracy. And so anyway, think about that. Lobbyists are advising the legislature on how to solve the deficit. Now, name me one lobbyist who's out there lobbying for less spending. They aren't. That isn't their job. They're there to figure out how to get their hand in your pocket using the legislature and the governing administrations, the police, basically, to force you, you know, to let people get into your wallet and take money out of it, your earnings out of it, your life.
One of those ways is the photo radar thing. Did you hear about what's happening tomorrow?
No.
Tom just came in here. Thomas told me, he goes, Sean, the guy at camerafraud.com at the Arizona Chamber of Commerce is having a representative from Red Flex debate camera fraud.
Seriously, they're going to show up?
Well, see, that was the thing. Nobody would come up. They, you know, DPA, the Department of Public Safety, the state, the local municipality, they couldn't get anybody. But the Arizona Department of Chamber of Commerce, influential enough, say, look, Red Flex, you want to have any kind of support from us and our legislators, and they got their little stable of guys already.
Oh, absolutely.
You better bring your butt on in here. Do you understand me, boy?
You know, Sean tells a story about, you know, he used to be a lot more pro-Republican, got to get along to get along.
Which we warned him.
I remember him telling me a story. He's out talking to a legislature, Arizona legislature, out on the Capitol Mall, and he's talking about a bill that's coming up on, going to affect photo radar. And the legislature's telling him, oh, yeah, I understand. It's terrible. Don't worry. You know I'm on your side, blah, 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 blah. While he's talking to him, an ATS, which is the other half of the photo radar people in this state of Arizona, pretty much, lobbyist comes up and says, hey, you know, this bill is the exact same bill that they were just talking about with Sean. Goes, we got to count on your vote, right? And the guy goes, yep, no problem. And
no, it's even worse than
Sean's
that.
Like, okay, go ahead.
No, you're saying he had to go to a dentist. He was going to miss the vote. Oh, no. We'll bring a dentist down to the legislature for you. This is how much they, and this was the guy that had the amendment to do away with this provision or something. And Sean is standing right there.
I just laughing. He's telling me, and I've heard this. It's not atypical.
I've been through this so many times.
But it's so wonderful that, you know, it's like the old story about the kid that's like, and I hate to use Republican Democrat thing, but the kids, you know, darn. Coming into the music, man.
Well, you know, I the one thing that was interesting is that Sean, he tried to make it. Well, he has to play with dude. Yep. It took a while for him to finally go, I got screwed. We're all getting screwed.
You're getting lied to.
And we're going to tell you how and details, because you know it's going to apply to your state. So pay attention. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and in studio, Pal Gallo.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm me, Ernest Hancock, in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, with the senior editor of freedomsphoenix.com sitting in with me, Pal Gamble. Now, at the top of the hour, we'll get to Orly. How do you say your last name? Tates?
Tates, I think.
T-A-I-T-Z. Orly Tates. She's at the Continental Congress in Chicago right now. And she also got a court date for her Obama birth certificate litigation that's coming out in the January. So we'll talk a little bit about both of those things. But what we're doing, and then after that, we'll do a couple segments there, and then we'll have a final half hour with Pal and I again, because we want to go over a bunch of these stories that I know is affecting everyone, but you really don't get how it, you got the federal deficit, you got the federal debt, you got international, the dollars going, and how international funding of this stuff from other countries, but a lot of these guys, you know, they probably got a little skin in the game on the state level, too. And what really got me going, wow, was in Alabama, there was a single county that Goldman Sachs had to pay back hundreds of millions of dollars in commissions on how they got screwed. Because they go, you know what? We're going to trial. And they couldn't get them off. You got some Alabama good old boy that just said, see you in court. And they went, you know what? We're better off just pay you off, man. So they paid them off. Now, this is one county in little old Alabama. You got thousands of counties around this country. And you think it doesn't apply to you? Well, it applies. Because the math says that the state faces $2 billion deficit this year and at least $3.3 billion for next year. That's a lot of money. And we only got 6 million people in this state. You know, I'm telling you, we're in worse shape mathematically than California. So what are we going to do about it? So what else is going on, pal?
Well, you have reassurances from the President of the United States that all is going well. They're doing everything they possible to make sure they head off this recession. But if you don't do everything that, you know, he says to cut spending, in the future sometime, we could go into double-digit recession. And you're sitting there shaking your head going, healthcare, expanding the war. Yeah, I just go down the list, the litany. He hasn't even been in office 9 months. Well, maybe he has, but, you know.
Yeah, but they're going to tax the rich!
It's just, yeah, and that's a real problem, too. That drives, why the heck would you want to stick around in the United States?
I'm done, man. I'm taking me and my, me and my factory and going over here.
Yeah, if you can do it, and if you're wealthy, you can do it. It's, you know, I hate to break up Reagan, but you know, one of the things Reagan did that was smart was that he did encourage, he lowered the taxes on the rich. And he did encourage, basically, in international investors, rich people to come in. He was actually effectively selling citizenship for $5 million, bringing $5 million worth of company, and you know, you're an instant citizen or a citizen within a year. And you know, you say, well, that's selling citizenship. It's like, well,
yeah. So a bunch of other countries did that, except Americans.
We started getting back on an economic thing, but of course, they had to start spending.
Other countries are doing this, saying, a good example, we have some friends that go into Panama. If you buy so much real estate where they got a teak wood farm, you know, that they're doing, you know, kind of, you know, as part of their deal. In Austria, they do the same thing. They're going, okay, well, if you got so much in business and they had some garage door company or something like that, then there's some people that are in other countries. They do this. They go, yeah, you know, we went to New Zealand. They have a point system. You know, you got to get like 30 points or something. Okay, well, if you're below a certain age, you know, that's points. If you got a degree, that's points. You got so much money, that's points. You got all these points. I don't have any points. But anyway, so I go there, or how old your kids are, that kind of stuff. So you go down, and we had these guys from speak at the Freedom Summit. Oh, yeah, freedomsummit.com. Ron Paul, Thomas Woods, Charles Goyette. I mean, on and on and on. Go check freedomsummit.com first week in December. Here it comes. Now, what happened was these guys from New Zealand, they explained immigration to us and how, you know, it sounds reasonable. In the United States now, you know, they probably may have a program come up here, but they're not honoring this with United States citizens anymore in these other countries because the deals that they made, the United States government insists on being able to look in their banks, the bank accounts. This has been happening. UBS and, was it Switzerland, you know, now, I mean, all this stuff. And now they're touting. Yesterday we had on Freedom's Phoenix, 14,000 people volunteer their information in their tax amnesty thing for stuff that they had.
Volunteer.
Another country. Yeah. And, what happened, also, they retroactively went to 2003, retroactively, saying, we want to know all the precious metals you've had in every bank around the world. And if you don't, it's $10,000 a day for not telling us, and a prison sentence and all this other stuff. Why would they want to know precious metals yet that was legal, you know, to have in another country somewhere that you have access to? They want to know that's the first step to confiscation. I'm going, wow, man, these guys are without shame. So I'm just, whoa, anything that Powell, you know, tells me, nothing surprises me anymore. Try and surprise me with some other guys.
I was going to say, you and I are not wealthy. We're not here defending, you know, wealth because of wealth. I don't know about you, but I never received a job from a poor guy. I always got my jobs from people that were fairly well off. They had extra money, so they were creating a job.
Yep.
And, all right. Let's get back to the $3.3 billion deficit that is projected. Now you got a bunch of lobbyists. This was at that lobbyist forum. How is increased spending going to affect reducing that deficit? It's not, but that's what the lobbyists want. The only possible way that they can to balance the budget and basically go to zero deficit is to raise taxes. They have to go after your earnings. There's no other way around it. Yet the only real solution is to cut spending. But they won't cut spending. And, you know, I've been here before where I told you the city budgets, if you look at them, 75%, three out of every $4 goes to the police departments in cities in Arizona. I don't know how it is in your states, but that's what it is in Arizona. If you go and look at the state budget of Arizona, 75%, three out of every $4 goes to education in this state. Yet it's never enough. There's always, we got to have more money for the kids. And they can't cut. It's always, oh, we can't cut the education. That's like, great. Now you've basically said, well, we need to cut $2 billion out of this year's budget, but we can't touch education, which accounts for every $3 out of $4. That means that the $1 out of $4 have to make up for that amount. And it's like, yeah, fine, bring it on. But, of course, they never, ever have the willpower to really cut that money out.
Well, and kind of a concession in the same day, this, you know, same kind of, you know, local papers and so on. They, you know, right at the same time, they're saying, yeah, but we haven't forgot about you, Mr. Voter Taxpayer. we're going to let you walk away from your home and not have the creditors pursue
that. That was another very interesting argument, but I'm glad you reminded me of it. All right. We've talked about MERS before, that there's a possibility that a lot of these...
mortgage electronic recording services.
Lot of these homes that are out there have been lent out. People have taken loans out on them. That, in fact, there's no clear-cut title to the property anymore because they've been destroyed to hide the fact that 60% of the loans made in this country in the last 10 years basically were unlawfully made and unlawfully doled out, etc. And this is becoming a serious problem. So you're starting to see, I think, the boilerplate legislation that Ernie was talking about earlier being introduced in various state legislatures to, okay, how are we going to adjust this? How are we going to create things that will allow the banks not to lose the money, not to because it's going to basically throw all these banks into receivership, and once again throw the onus retroactively back onto the person that took out the debt. And the problem with that is that currently, for better or for worse, under Arizona law at least, you can walk away from a bad loan. You can walk into your bank, you know, you're underwater by a huge amount, your house is worth 50% or less of what you actually own a loan out on. You just toss the keys on the guy's desk and leave. And they're trying to pass legislation now that basically says, oh, no, we can go after you for the rest of your friggin' life for that balance of that. Which, you know, you can argue one way or the other, but I'm just telling you how the law is now and what they're trying to do, and try to do it retroactively, which, of course, is unconstitutional in both U.S. and Arizona Constitution. But retroactive laws get passed and enforced all the time because they do not care.
Because they can. You know, and later in the same article they're talking about, plans are to cut about $300 million in spending, half from state aid to education and half from the Department of Economic Security. And lawmakers believe they can save another $160 million with other technical changes to the budget.
Smoke and mirrors.
Now, let me tell you what that means. This is part of why I've filed suits before. They just redefine what the debt is. I'll give you an example. And who do you go for all this? You're gonna challenge this to who? Goes up to the Arizona Supreme Court. What'd they do? They built the Taj Mahal. I mean, it's a marble and teak.
So
I mean,
true.
You know, they build this thing, and it's a, you know, it's a tens of millions of dollars for this thing.
I forgot about that. That was exactly what they were breaking crown on that the second time you were.
They're paying off the Supreme Court, man. They got their own little jacuzzi room or whatever. So they create this Supreme Court building downtown, and they don't pay for it. They lease it, okay? So you get the building, get to use the building, and then because you make a payment, a big chunk that has a whole bunch going to whoever built it and holds the note, you make this lease payment every year. Well, that's an annual payment. It's not a long-term obligation. So they say, well, that's not a debt. And I go, okay, well, then move. Stop. You know, can you leave? Is there some kind of 20-year obligation? Or, well, at the end of this, if we pay it over so many years, then we get the building or whatever. It's a payment system. They lease the purchase or whatever. It's a debt. They go, well, no, because we don't have to. Really? This is how they do it. And this is why even The Daily Show is making fun of Arizona, because they were talking of selling our state capitol and our state buildings and leasing them back. This isn't new. They've been doing this for a decade. This is how they've been able to get what they wanted and still be able to indebt us without really indebting us. And they've run out of money. They can't do it anymore. They're a credit risk. They're not willing to build all this stuff anymore. So they're going to buy the building that they're already got a tenant. It's called the legislature. This is how it's going to work in your state, too. Pay attention. We'll be back with Orly Tate's when we come back at the top of the hour.